Bibles, please, for our second reading. We'll find that in Leviticus chapter 14. We'll continue our discussion of leprosy. Leviticus chapter 14, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, This shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest, and the priest shall go forth out of the camp. And the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then shall the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed two birds, alive and clean, and cedar wood, and scarlet, and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and shall dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy seven times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into the open field. And he that is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes, and shave off all his hair, and wash himself in water, that he may be clean. And after that he shall come into the camp, and shall tarry abroad out of his tent 7 days. But it shall be on the seventh day that he shall shave all his hair off his head, and his beard and his eyebrows, even all his hair he shall shave off. And he shall wash his clothes, also he shall wash his flesh in water, and he shall be clean. And on the eighth day he shall take 2 he lambs without blemish, and 1 ewe lamb of the first year without blemish, and 3/10 deals of fine flour for a meat offering mingled with oil, and 1 log of oil. And the priest that maketh him clean shall present the man that is to be made clean, and those things before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall take 1 he lamb and offer him for a trespass offering, and the log of oil, and wave them for a wave offering before the Lord. And he shall slay the lamb in the place where he shall kill the sin offering and the burnt offering in the holy place. For as the sin offering is the priest's, so is the trespass offering. It is most holy. And the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, and the priest shall put it upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot. And the priest shall take some of the log of oil and pour it into the palm of his own left hand. And the priest shall dip his right finger in the oil that is in his left hand, and shall sprinkle of the oil with his finger 7 times before the Lord. And the rest of the oil that is in his hand shall the priest put upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot, upon the blood of the trespass offering. And the remnant of the oil that is in the priest's hand shall he pour upon the head of him that is to be cleansed, and the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord. And the priest shall offer the sin offering and make an atonement for him that is to be cleansed from his uncleanness, and afterward he shall kill the burnt offering. And the priest shall offer the burnt offering and the meat offering upon the altar, and the priest shall make an atonement for him, and he shall be clean. And if he be poor and cannot get so much, then he shall take 1 lamb for a trespass offering to be waved to make an atonement for him, and 1/10 deal of fine flour mingled with oil for a meat offering, and 1 log of oil, and 2 turtle doves or young pigeons, such as he is able to get. And the one shall be a sin offering, and the other a burnt offering. And he shall bring them on the 8th day for his cleansing, unto the priest, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. And the priest shall take the lamb of the trespass offering and the log of oil, and the priest shall wave them for a wave offering before the Lord. And he shall kill the lamb of the trespass offering, and the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering and put it upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot. And the priest shall pour the oil into the palm of his own left hand, and the priest shall sprinkle with his right finger some of the oil that is in his left hand seven times before the Lord. And the priest shall put of the oil that is in his right hand upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot, upon the place of the blood of the trespass offering. And the rest of the oil that is in the priest's hand, he shall put upon the head of him that is to be cleansed, to make an atonement for him before the Lord. And he shall offer one of the turtle doves or of the young pigeons, such as he can get, even such as he is able to get, the one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering, with the meat offering, and the priest shall make an atonement for him that is to be cleansed before the Lord. This is the law of him in whom is the plague of leprosy, whose hand is not able to get that which pertaineth to his cleansing. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, When ye be come into the land of Canaan, which I give you for a possession, and I put the plague of leprosy in a house of the land of your possession, and he that owneth the house shall come and tell the priest, saying, It seemeth to me there is, as it were, a plague in the house. Then the priest shall command that they empty the house before the priest to go in to it to see the plague, that all that is in the house be made not unclean, and afterward the priest shall go in to see the house. And he shall look on the plague, and behold, if the plague be in the walls of the house with hollow strakes, greenish or reddish, which in sight are lower than the wall, then the priest shall go out of the house to the door of the house and shut up the house 7 days. And the priest shall come again in the seventh day and look. And behold, if the plague be spread in the walls of the house, then the priest shall command that they take away the stones in which the plague is, and they shall cast them into an unclean place without the city. And he shall cause the house to be scraped within round about, and they shall pour out the dust that they scrape off without the city into an unclean place. And they shall take other stones and put them in the place of those stones, and he shall take other mortar and shall plaster the house. And if the plague come again and break out in the house, after that he hath taken away the stones, and after he hath scraped the house, and after it is plastered, then the priest shall come and look, and behold, if the plague be spread in the house, it is a fretting leprosy in the house. It is unclean. And he shall break down the house, the stones of it, and the timber thereof, and the mortar of the house, and he shall carry them forth out of the city into an unclean place. Moreover, he that goeth into the house all the while that is shut up shall be unclean until the even. And he that lieth in the house shall wash his clothes, and he that eateth in the house shall wash his clothes. And if the priest shall come in and look upon it, and behold, the plague hath not spread in the house after the house was plastered, then the priest shall pronounce the house clean, because the plague is healed. And he shall take to cleanse the house two birds, and cedar wood, and scarlet, and hyssop. And he shall kill one of the birds in an earthen vessel over running water. And he shall take the cedar wood, and the hyssop, and the scarlet, and the living bird, and dip them in the blood of the slain bird, and in the running water, and sprinkle the house 7 times. And he shall cleanse the house with the blood of the bird, and with the running water, and with the living bird, and with the cedar wood, and with the hyssop, and with the scarlet. But he shall let go the living bird out of the city into the open fields, and shall make an atonement for the house, and it shall be clean. This is the law for all manner of plague of leprosy and scall, and for the leprosy of a garment and of a house, and for a rising and for a scab and for a bright spot, to teach when it is clean and when it is unclean and when it is clean. This is the law of leprosy. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. So we have two parts in this chapter. The first part is how a leper is cleansed, and that's divided into two parts: the leper that can afford two lambs and the leper that can't. And then after that, we have leprosy considered in a house itself. Okay. So I think everything is pretty straightforward here. There's a difference between the offerings that are offered. There is no sin offering or trespass offering offered with regard to a house, because a house is not a moral agent. That makes good sense. We get that. With regard to the leper, this is what I was talking about before, earlier today, when we looked at this being a symbol, if you will, a typology pertaining to sin. So we have a sin offering and a trespass offering that is offered for the leper that is being cleansed. And notice that the leper does not pronounce himself clean. There is a priest that makes him clean. This is, there is a great big topic. I remember a few years back preaching on this thing, this topic here. It may be well to remind ourselves for a moment. We are often those folks who are prone to say things like, well, I know what the jury decided, but I also know what really happened. You know, what that is, what that does, let me say it this way, what that does is it makes that we can never make really a decision, because we're often or almost always left to the arbitration of what people think rather than to an authoritative decision that is made. One of the things that we love about Presbyterian church government is that it's biblical. And the other thing that helps us with that is that we have these things in our presbytery meetings that we call minutes. You know what the minute does? It establishes fact. One guy can remember this, another guy can remember that, and another guy can remember something else. Well, I don't remember that at all, but we all must come together at a certain point and vote on the minutes to receive them. And we can discuss and perfect what was recorded at the time. Many times we actually read the minutes before we adjourn so that everything that happened is fresh in our minds. But once we say these minutes are adopted, you know what that is, beloved? That is authoritative. The decisions that were made are now put in force. A man doesn't get up in Leviticus chapter 14 and look at his arm and say, oh, look at that, I'm healed. I'm no longer a leper. He doesn't get to do that. As he was presented to the priest in order to pronounce him either clean or unclean, he is also presented to the priest in order that he will be cleansed and brought back into fellowship with the people through this ceremony. And so Moses will write, and the priest that maketh him clean. It's not just a matter of whether or not chemically, physiologically, there's no more evidence of disease. That must be decided authoritatively. This is something that is lost on us these days, because we're always trying to get behind the decision to the, quote, truth. And we have forgotten that really that is elusive to us. And it is an authoritative decision that is lawfully arrived at that becomes the standard of procedure moving forward. That's how we have to have it. Otherwise, we begin to think things like everything that we see and everything that we remember is absolutely true. And that's a very dangerous position to be in. So the Lord provided a priesthood and authority. So notice that there were two doves. The reason there were two is because one dove couldn't give the whole thing for us. The first dove is killed over running water. The running water, this is all to represent cleanness, right? And then there's a scarlet thread, and the scarlet thread is to remind us of blood, that it comes through blood sacrifice, that the scarlet thread is tied about this dove, and a piece of cedar. Why cedar? Because it is aromatic and good smelling instead of dead and foul smelling. This is cleanness that is being emphasized here. So the first dove is killed, his head is wrung off of his neck, and the blood is sprinkled on the second dove who's tied up to the cedar. Of course, that second dove is thinking, it's not looking good for me right now, right? But what's amazing is that after that ceremony is complete, and then the leper himself is sprinkled with that blood, that bird is then released into the open fields, now symbolizing that leper who was dead and is now alive and able to walk about freely among the people of God. Two doves, because one can't do it. After you wring his head off, he can't fly open in the fields, right? And then, because leprosy is, like I said earlier today, emblematic of sin, there is a sin and a trespass offering that yet must be offered. Two lambs, normally, or if you can't afford two lambs, then one lamb and two birds. And one of those lambs is for the trespass offering, and then the other of those lambs is for the whole burnt offering, right? And the whole burnt offering says, now that I am cleansed, right? The trespass offering, my trespass has now been atoned for. Now that that has been atoned for, now I give my whole self to God in that whole burnt offering. And if you could not afford two lambs, then one lamb went for a trespass offering, and one bird went with that, and then the other bird went for that whole burnt offering on the altar. And that was all done in the face of God, by the priest in the holy place where the trespass and sin offerings were offered. Beloved, we may not understand this very well because we think of human weakness to be innocent. It's just human weakness. But in the Old Testament, when there were bodily issues, leprosy and other such things, there was atonement that was made for that because God claimed all of you. And when you let some of that go, that was anything other than the stuff that you're supposed to let go, speaking modestly, that was a diminishing of who you were, a diminishing of your gift of God, gift of yourself to God, and that must be atoned for. You become unclean, and you must become clean. Same thing here with regard to leprosy. So all of these sacrifices and things that had to do with bodily issues and the rash and the redness from blood and so on, all of that, God says, you owe yourself to me. This is a diminishing of that offering that I ought to be receiving that is guilt-worthy, and so you will offer for that. We don't generally think that way in our day, but that is the way God taught his ancient people to think. And so all of our weaknesses, all of our inabilities and so on, these are chinks in the offerings of ourselves that we offer to God. This becomes very clear, especially with regard to leprosy. And then finally, we have the leprosy of a house. A house in Scripture is not just a building, is it? Right? It's a mishpachat. It's a family. It's a bayit. It's a place where things are learned and understood, and it's a place that has a society of its own and so on. And so here the term house is doing a sort of double duty. We can be sinful, beloved. Our, quote, houses can be leprous in that sense. Not only can our physical buildings, you know, and here in North Texas we're all prone to, oh, this is mold. You know, spray it with some bleach, priest, it'll be fine. Don't worry about it. No, that's not the sum total of what's being spoken of here. What we're talking about is sins of the house, right? Sins that the inhabitants of that house bring to it. Remember, we talked a little bit earlier about daily exhortation. Well, what about when we don't do that? What about instead of daily edification, sometimes we're providing daily tearing down? And what if mom and dad don't deal with those sins and they become habits in the home? Those become, if you will, sins of the house. What will Solomon say? Better to have a small corner on the housetop than a wide house and strife therewith. Right? And so we want to reason, not just with regard to building and stones and mortar and brick, and timbers. We want also to understand the symbology of this. And notice that there was no offering offered for a, quote, house, because a house in that they're looking at and examining here is not itself a moral agent. And yet, there is still the ceremony, and that ceremony is designed so that no owner of a house makes that decision himself. He has to come to the priest for that. He has to seek spiritual help when his house has a fretting leprosy in it. Well, you see the symbology of that then. We're not left to our own recognizance in such things. And so the uncleanness is pronounced by the priest, and then the cleansing is also pronounced by the priest. We might even say that the priest makes the house clean with the ceremony. And that is to keep us from independency and thinking that our families are somehow little churches of their own. With that, then, we'll bring our reading to a close. Let's stand.